Welcome to episode number 2, Bob Seger Boulevard. I'm your host, Big Jim O'Brien. I host Big Jim's house at 94.7 WCSX here in the Motor City. And thanks for joining us. A lot to touch on this time. We like to go back and not only share clips of Bob Seger, but people talking about Bob that you will know. One of my obsessions, and I'll be honest, I've always thought I could pull together a Bob Seger tribute album. So we love to ask artists what song they would cover. So coming up in this episode, we start off talking to Steve Perry. Yeah, that's Steve Perry from Journey, about what Seger song he would cover and then what Journey song he'd like to hear Bob take a shot at. And then we talk about Joe Satriani, Mr. Guitar himself, sharing his stories about guitar playing and Bob Seger. Doc Emmerich, if you're a hockey fan, we all know Doc Emmerich. A great story about hanging out with Bob Seger back in the day in Port Huron, Michigan. Steve Lukather from Toto, an interesting story. Yeah, he has a connection to Bob Seger. And then Jim Moose Brown, current guitar player, plays piano in the Silver Bullet Band, was in studio about 3 or 4 years ago and tells some great stories about how he was introduced to Bob. What song did Bob Seger teach Moose how to play properly, and a lot more. So strap yourself in. We start off with Steve Perry. We asked Steve, what Bob Seger song would you like to cover?
Oh, Main Street. I'd love Main Street. Oh, Main Street, Main Street. I love that guy.
So if we could get Bob to do a Journey song, what would it be?
Faithfully, probably.
Oh, God.
Oh.
And now we got Chicken Skin again, Steve.
I just got Chicken Skin.
He'd sing a hole in that one, I'm telling you right now.
Can't you hear that in your head right now? Is it just me? I can completely hear that. So we move from Steve Perry to Joe Satriani. Check out this story involving Mr. Seger. I want to do a tribute album to Bob Seger. And I've got Joe Elliott, who wants to do Hollywood Nights with Def Leppard. Paul Rogers has chimed in on this. We've got Styx that wants to do a song. And in my head, I would love to hear a Joe Satriani version of Her Strut.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, when are the sessions happening?
As soon as I can afford them. Right now, I'm splitting chicken nuggets with people. So, but no, seriously, would that be something? Like, could you hear that in your head? I've always, your guitar playing is so awesome, and I love that riff in that song. And I thought, God, Joe Satriani playing Her Strut would be awesome.
Wow. You know, now you have me thinking about it. When I'm finished with these interviews, I think that's exactly what I'll do. I'll start to see if I can sort of do something to it that makes it relevant to my fingers. You know, that's usually that's the key when you're doing covers. You know, you can do a literal cover, or you can sort of do something to it that sort of turns it into yours. You know, makes it a personal statement. We've been involved in that in the last couple of months with G3 because we, you know, John Petrucci and Phil Collins and I were tossing around crazy ideas like maybe we can do, you know, this Deep Purple song or we can do that Stevie Wonder song or something like that. But the question is, how will we do it? We all know we can do it, but how are we going to reinterpret it so, you know, it'll put a smile on Ian Gillan's face, let's say, you know. So in my mind, the task would be, okay, how would I make Bob Seger happy? So he wouldn't come over and scream at me.
As we roll along in episode number 2 of Bob Seger Boulevard, once again, I'm your host, Big Jim O'Brien, host Big Jim's house here at WCSX in Detroit, Michigan. We go from Joe Satriani, one of the best guitar players in the world, to Doc Emmerich. NHL, when it comes to calling hockey games, is there anyone better? If you play NHL on your video games, you know who we're talking about. Well, Doc has a great story. It's a great connection to Bob Seger, going back to their days when they're both starting out in Port Huron, Michigan. Now, this message was left for us when we were dedicating Bob Seger Boulevard, but check this out.
4.5 decades ago, you and I both got to work some smaller venues in simpler times, and one of those was McMorran Place in Port Huron, Michigan. The crowds were much bigger for you than they were for our hockey team. The crowds were so much bigger for you that they hired our bigger hockey players to serve as bouncers. And they would appear at your concerts wearing their jerseys so that they would stand out. And they stood up near the stage so that if anybody got too rowdy, except for you, that is, they would take care of any problems. That was on their off nights. No idea what they got paid for that. Time passes, but greatness gets many rewards, including the naming of a street. Congratulations, Bob, from all of us on this very special occasion.
Doc Emmerich, when we were dedicating Bob Seger Boulevard here in the Motor City. What a great story. So we go from him to Steve Lukather, guitarist for Toto, one of the most underrated guitarists in the world, in my opinion. And also, his autobiography is one of the best reads you will ever have. But I always learn something new when you talk to Luke. And I mentioned Moose Brown, who we're going to get to from the Silver Bullet Band, when Luke shared with us that he had actually done some work for Seger. A friend of mine, Jim Moose Brown, plays guitar for Seger. And Moose.
I did a Seger record, man. I love Bob.
Wait a minute. Which one were you on?
Fire Inside.
Wait a minute. That's you on the title track, or which one?
I'm on the album somewhere. I forget what it was.
So, okay.
He asked me to join the band a tour, but I couldn't do it.
Did you know that Lukather was on the Fire Inside? I didn't until we had spoken with
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, one more thing as we wrap up our second episode of Bob Seger Boulevard. This interview with Jim Moose Brown, guitarist, piano player for the Silver Bullet Band, on tour with him right now. This goes back to 2013. Moose had come by the studio. He brought his guitar, and we were telling stories about Bob Seger. Now, if you don't know who Jim Moose Brown is, he's one of the guys who wrote It's 5 O'Clock Somewhere. He's played on every album you can name. I'm joking, but seriously. He's in Willie Nelson's band. You name it, whether it's Jamie Johnson, all these folks. He's worked with Brad Paisley and Darius Rucker and Jimmy Buffett, obviously, with It's 5 O'Clock Somewhere. And he's been in the band for, wow, what, 10, 11 years at least? You'll see Moose out there on tour, and he's always gracious every time we talk with him. And when he came in studio, he told us some stories. So in this next segment, you're going to learn about how he met Bob and then the guitar lick that Bob taught him because he wasn't playing it right. It's a great story. Here it is from 2013. Jim Moose Brown in studio explaining how he got the call from Seger.
Well, I actually was recommended to him. A guitar player, a friend of mine, Brent Rowan, who's been a session player, mainstay in Nashville for years and years, played on a ton of records, was playing on Face the Promise, the record that Bob recorded back in 2006. And Bob was asking him, hey, do you know anybody who could play mostly keyboards, maybe a little guitar, sing a little bit? You know, it's kind of strange. In Nashville, I'm known primarily as a keyboard player. And in 2006, I had given up playing guitar, probably hadn't picked up a guitar in 10 years, an electric guitar in 10 years, when I got the call from Bob. My phone rang one night at home, and it was Bob Seger calling. And I said, hello. He said, is this Moose? And I said, yes, it is. He said, well, this is Bob Seger. And I went, I wasn't expecting the call. And he just said that I'd been recommended, and we talked for 45 minutes on the phone. And then, of course, you know, he wanted to know what I'd been doing, what experience I had, but he wanted to know about my family. He wanted to know. And then he got really interested when I mentioned that I grew up here. I don't think he knew that. And Michigan is very dear to him, and I think that kind of piqued his interest even more. So he said, why don't you come hang out with us? We're thinking about doing a tour. For whatever reason, he took a liking to me.
So I got to ask, though. So you get the call from Seger. You talked to him on the phone. And then you go to, like, a rehearsal hall. Is this like the West Wing where they're vetting the next Supreme Court justice? I mean, do you go in there and go, play us a song, Moose? Do you know Against the Wind? Was there, like, in your head, did you have a song like, I got to make sure I know how to play this? Or you just kind of went with it?
They sent me some stuff. Of course, I'm very familiar. I mean, that was the soundtrack of my high school days was with Bob Seger. I mean, grew up in the 70s, right when he was at his peak. I was in high school. And so I had the 8-track, and I was cruising around town in my Chevy van. And so I knew, you know, the stuff. But no, it wasn't really just listening to me. He had the whole band there. Donnie Brewer was there, Frost, Campbell, Alto, and we just kind of jammed. And it was really cool. He'd say, hey, Moose, let me see your guitar for a second, you know. And he would show me. He'd say, this is the way I played, you know, whatever it might be, the song we were working on. It was really cool to get his take on it because he has certain ways that he strums the guitar. He first of all, he has incredible ears. He hears everything. He's one of the most talented musicians I've ever met.
So is Punch. Never mind.
Actually, Punch is. I've found something about Punch. Punch, he does know his stuff musically. The goal is to, you have to read his mind because he's not a good conveyor of his thoughts. You have to figure out what it is he's hearing or not hearing. But he does know his music. Anyway, it was just really cool to get to watch Bob show me how he played these parts on the records, and it's like I learned a lot.
Well, you got a guitar. Give us an example, like some of the stuff that he would do.
Okay. Well, all right. The first thing that I remember him showing me was when we were running Love to Watch Her Strut. You know, there's the lick. Everybody knows that. But then there's an alternate part that answers it. It goes like this. It's not the main lick of the song, but it's very important. It answers the lick. And what he showed me was that you should never strum that down from the top string down to the bottom. You should always strum up because you get that trebly sound that speaks better. Just little things like that I've picked up from him through the years, and it's like, wow, he's right. Most guitar players, they always strum down like a big power chord.
Yeah, you know, that
sounds
that
like that.
Right.
And when you strum up, it sounds like this. Here's one way, here's the other way.
So if Hollywood Nights is like Brewer's, I'm going to work my butt off on this song. Is there one for you, either on keyboard or guitars, during the set that you're like, man, this is I'm into it. This is a strong 4 minutes.
You know, I've been playing a little bit more piano this tour, and probably Roll Me Away is probably the biggest challenge for me because it's in the key of B, which is not a real piano-friendly key. And so I've been playing Roll Me Away on piano. That's probably been my biggest challenge.
He's got that guitar. So, for example, if I just said, play a Seeger song, don't even think about it. Just start playing something on the guitar. What's the first one pops into your head? First thing that just pops into your head.
Probably the first thing that popped into my mind would be something that I don't play on guitar, but it would be this. That'd probably be the first riff that just popped into my head.
And in all these shows you've done with Seeger, no one in the crowd does it justice, right? There should be a be quiet during Night Moves, right? I mean, that's one of those songs in karaoke. Please don't sing it. Just let Bob do it. The two shows that you guys did with Kid Rock. Now, did you guys, obviously on the road, I doubt you have. Have you heard the song that Kid Rock did about performing with Bob?
I did. Somebody pointed it out to me on YouTube. I thought it was very touching.
And then the Best Night Ever. Did you notice the name of Kid Rock's tour this summer? The Best Night Ever.
Really?
That's not a coincidence. I mean, that's how. Now, you being there with Kid, and I know him and Bob, they had rehearsed this for a while. Could you get the vibe? It was kind of like, I hate to say teacher and master, kind of, you know, student teacher kind of thing, but. Was it kind of like that with Kid?
I don't think it's that way so much with Bob. Bob Seeger just kind of looks at it as a friendship, but Bob Ritchie, I mean, that's his hero. It's really cool to watch. I remember one time we were after rehearsing last tour, we rehearsed at Kid Rock's facility with Seeger, and Bob took us out to eat somewhere, and Kid Rock was there. And so I know Kid Rock a little bit because he's got a place in Nashville, and he's real good buddies with my friend Jamie Johnson. So we hang out some together. And so I was sitting at Bob Ritchie's table, and we were talking, and Seeger came over to us, and he was talking about this and that, and then he walked away. And Kid Rock goes, "That's Bob Seeger. That was Bob Seeger." It's like he's still like, that's his hero. He's so excited to be around him. You know, it's really cool to watch.
That blows me away. I mean, that's still, how many years? It's been a dozen years at least that these two guys have been doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Can you ever see a time, especially with the song Detroit Made? We talked about that when we first heard that they were touring together. Mm-hmm. If Bob was ever going to do a last hurrah, like I'm done, mm-hmm. that would be the tour with him and Kid and call it Detroit Made.
I tell you what, it was those two nights that we did were very, very successful nights, and it was very easy on both parts. You know, it just worked. It worked really well, and the crowd really loved it. It's kind of cool because even though they're both rock artists, they kind of attract different types of crowds, but the other works, you know. I mean, it was a real smooth transition between shows, and it was a great two nights.
And Bob Seeger rapped. I mean, come on.
And did it well.
He did.
Yes, he did.
There we go. So we wrap up episode 2, Bob Seeger Boulevard. Thanks to Steve Perry, Joe Satriani, Doc Emmerich, Steve Lukather from Toto, and of course, Jim Moose Brown of the Silver Bullet Band, that interview from a couple of years ago. You're always welcome to subscribe. We'll keep you going. There's a lot more coming. We've got in the coming weeks everybody from Steve Winwood to James Young from Styx telling stories about their time with Bob Seeger and what song they would cover and inspiration for it as well. You can follow me on Twitter at WCSXJim. Again, the Bob Seeger Boulevard podcast is also available at WCSX.com. My name is Big Jim O'Brien. I host Big Jim's House Morning Show at WCSX here in Detroit, Michigan. To all the Seeger fans listening, thank you for the support. Keep following, and we will keep sharing stuff. If you've got suggestions, too, email me, bigjim@wcsx.com. God bless you. Take care.